Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In his message titled, Reading Subtitles, Reverend David Williams tells us that God created a great variety of life here on earth. God has given us our own gifts and abilities. Jesus asks us to follow his path, love one another, and find the strength that our combined gifts can create. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this space on a Pentecost Sunday, a Sunday where we remember the gifts of the Spirit, when we remember the fires of the Spirit, when we remember that those fires don't touch each person in the same way. Each of us from the Spirit are given a particular gift, and that's not the gift of our neighbor. It's not the gift of our friend. And that gifts move across cultures and peoples in the same way. What we remember on this Pentecost Sunday is that the Spirit lights us up to see God's love and God's presence in those who are not us, helps us to hear their voices. In a world and in a culture where we so easily turn from those who are different, Pentecost Sunday reminds us that the fires of God's Spirit speak in tongues that are not our own and light up gifts in others that are not our gifts. Right now, let's pray together, asking God to remind us of the gifts of others and of the blessings of other cultures. Let's offer up that prayer as it's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. Gracious God, you have created each of us with our own gifts and our own abilities. There are things we can do that others cannot, and in our difference, we should find our strength together. Yet we look at what is ours, at what we have been gifted, and assume that it is the best. We look at what our culture celebrates, at what brings wealth and power, and we assume that it must be the most blessed. When we do this, we risk belittling the gifts of others and forget our relationship to you. For those times we close our hearts to your Spirit, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ, who died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us.
Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 119 in your Pew New Testament. Let us listen again for God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. Cultures are weird. They're strange things in terms of how we relate to them and how they form us, because our cultural background defines a large part of how we understand ourselves, and it also shapes how we understand our world. Cultures give us our linguistic framework, the words and the symbols we use to name and to remember and to think. Our culture gives us customs and fashions and patterns of life. And culture gives us our stories, the sense of where we come from and who we are, the tales and myths and legends that give us a way to see how we fit into the world, how we're meant to relate to other people, and how we're meant to relate to those who are not us. Story is such a vital part of culture. And I think back to when I was a kid and the stories that filled my life. Stories from Scripture, but also the cultural influence of other things. Tales of Narnian fields and Middle Earth. Stories of dragons and starships. And if I think back to the cultures that fed in to my own sense of self and the way I understood the world, I was struck by how many of them weren't American or Western in origin. I'd spent a lot of time immersed in stories when I would get home from school and my mom would say, "You have a half hour to watch TV." And I'd say, "Okay." And I'd go down and I would watch TV. And then about 45 minutes later, my mom would say, "You had a half hour to watch TV." During that half hour, it would be, depending on the day, might be Speed Racer or Ultraman. I was a big fan of Ultraman. Or if it was a summer weekday, when I was home and I didn't do swim team because I didn't want to, and I had tennis, but that was later, I would sit and my mom would be doing what she needed to be doing and I would somehow be getting my 45 minutes in. And I would watch something called Kimba the White Lion. Did anyone ever see that? It was a 1950s anime that Disney totally ripped off when they made The Lion King. They just completely ripped that off, totally unfair. All of those, Japanese. When I was a boy in London and I had no friends and I was on the school bus on the way to my American school, I bonded and made a very close friend with a seat partner as we talked about a show called Star Blazers, which we had both watched. And that, also Japanese, originally had the title Space Battleship Yamato. Which is a much more Japanese title. It's about how the rescuers of humanity surface the battleship Yamato and turn it into a spaceship and fly through the galaxy. And then there would be Saturdays, where technically I got an hour to watch TV, and those I would spend watching Creature Feature on Channel 20. And, you know, I had to have my room cleaned first so it would be cleaned, meaning everything stuffed under the bed. And then I would go down to watch mostly Japanese stuff. Endless arrays of men in rubber monster suits stomping around obviously cardboard models of Tokyo. So much of my childhood was formed and shaped by stories from a completely different culture. And we Americans always liked those films and those shows, especially the Godzilla shows. I mean, who has seen a Godzilla film? I'm just checking. Godzilla film. Bless you. Who has enjoyed a Godzilla film? Yeah, all right, just that seems like a... Who has seen the original 1954 Godzilla, the original one? The thing is, the Godzilla films I watched as a kid were mostly goofy. I mean, it was like watching professional wrestling, just only with rubber suits and models. But the 1954 Godzilla is not fun. It's not a fun film because it rose out of a culture that was trying to process its experience with having its culture torn away from it in first firebombings and then the nuclear attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A culture that's trying to process losing 100,000 lives in a moment is going to need to tell stories about that. And they're still telling those stories. We Americans, I don't think, grasp that experience, that sense of helplessness. It's not that we don't want to tell Godzilla stories. Did anyone see either of the recent Hollywood Godzillas? Don't. they're uniquely American in their take, which is they are, they spin Godzilla as the later films did. Godzilla, friend to children. Where Godzilla is our savior who comes in to protect us from other forces. And we like that. We're not really comfortable with the monster that is implacable and inescapable. If you want to watch a good Godzilla film, there's the 2016 movie Shin Godzilla, which captures the feeling of the 1954 film, only filtered through the lenses of the Japanese tsunami and the Fukushima reactor failure. It is a film that spends most of its time in meetings, which is why, as a Presbyterian, I loved it. The film begins with committees discussing, there appears to be a creature in the harbor. No, that's not possible. We're going to call in biologists. They have a meeting with them. Then they have another meeting to talk about their meeting with the biologists. And then they form a task force to talk about the committee meetings with the biologists. And the film is all committee meetings, which is why it did not do too well in the United States, but it's a satire of how much a culture struggles to deal with a crisis that's more than it can handle. It was smart and mature, which means there were not rubber suits involved. But what was most fascinating about it was that it gives insight into another culture, which you get only when you really listen, only when you open your spirit up to hearing what another culture has to say, to really getting a sense of its voice without overwriting it or replacing it with something else. That is reflective of the Pentecost experience, that space that we try to bridge between cultures as we read along and try to understand them from both subtitles and their voices. This Pentecost story today is the fulcrum in the story told by Luke. Because when Luke's gospel begins, it begins in Luke chapter 1, and it goes all the way to the end of the Acts of the Apostles. And the pivotal moment, the central moment in all of Luke's story of Jesus is this story. This is the pivot that marks the coming of the Spirit and the fulfillment of what Jesus was trying to work in us. So when we listen to the story from the Acts of the Apostles, we're hearing that tale. A tale that marks as the key point of change in society, that moment when the boundaries between cultures are torn away. Here in chapter 2, we get ourselves this tale, and it's a feast day. There were always feast days in Jerusalem. It was their main tourist business. You know, you people come in, you have a feast, you spend some money. In the midst of a festival of harvest called Pentecost, I know I've pitched this out previous years. What does Pentecost mean? Where does it come from? I'm hearing? 50. Yeah, it's the 50th. The 50th day. It comes to us from the Greeks. We get the hint of that with the word penta. So five. It's the 50th day. It is 50 days following the celebration of the Passover. So that's where we get that feast name. And the festival was meant to be a festival of harvest. It also mingled in with a remembrance of the giving of the law to Moses. But it meant that the city was filled with people coming in to take advantage of harvest, to connect to one another. And in the midst of a city filled with life and noise, the disciples, who were still trying to figure out, Jesus seems to have risen, he seems to have returned, we've seen him ascend, things are different. They're gathered together, and we hear that suddenly there came like a sound like the rush of a violent wind. We hear that divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, with flame resting on each of them. This is not actually fire, nor is it the atomic breath of a giant kaiju lizard. This is a metaphor, an image, like a violent wind, as of fire, meant to evoke the fact that somehow in that moment, the immense transforming energy of God's presence was touching and changing them. The word Luke uses is nois, coming from the word pneuma, wind, breath, and spirit in the Greek, all folded together. And it was fire. We hear it was fire. And the term for fire is puros in the Greek, if we're listening across that culture. Pure and purify come from that same point where the sin of brokenness is wiped away. I think it's the Purell for sin. Purell, by the way, is also flammable. I made the mistake of sewing that to my sons when they were little. It's like, yeah, mistake. Ooh, we can write in fire. It's a moment of powerful, creative, transforming energy. And the gathered disciples suddenly find themselves able to, from that fire, speak out into the world around them. And they are understood. The tongues we hear here are not the glossolalia of ecstatic speech, where you're caught up in the spirit and you speak in ways that you can't quite be understood without a translator. This is different. This is a gift that speaks to the ability to both speak and be completely understood, where the truth of God's grace and Christ's love crossed over the boundaries of language and culture. Breath and fire mingled on Pentecost. And every year we remember that blessing, that gift, because it's a vital gift. It's the gift of all gifts, the ability to speak grace to those who are not us. And that goes beyond suddenly being able to speak Hosa or Tagalog. It's a manifestation of how the Spirit's fire burns down the boundaries between peoples. This day is a call for us to breach those boundaries and to recognize the opportunities that the Spirit gives us to have that fire burn out in our lives. To breach those boundaries, we are shown these disciples, this ragtag band of notoriously poor-spoken Galilean country folk who suddenly have the competence and the gifts to communicate with those who are different. That's vital for the fires of the Pentecost season. And we are reminded that we encounter those boundaries every day. Because every day we are given a chance to encounter difference, to see and be in the presence of those who don't experience the world in the same way we do. And the ability we are given, the measure for us as a people who are guided by the Spirit's fire, is our ability to show God's love to those who are not us. To someone you are not exactly like, whose framework and understanding isn't the same as yours, if you can connect with them, it helps you recognize that they are another soul, beloved of God, worthy of love, and that is the measure, the Spirit's measure, of all of our lives. That Spirit, God's fierce, fiery love, allows us to listen and understand, be guided by compassion, and to really hear that other person. I know in the scripture it speaks of everyone hearing in their own language. But I feel that that goes deeper than just the Spirit is overdubbing what they say. Because to be honest, and this is my own bias, I don't like dubbed movies. I like to be able to hear the voice of the actor. I like to hear the voice of the person. I like to encounter their culture, their voice, their expression, without some American actor talking over top of them. I like to hear them and read those subtitles, but also see how they relate to the voice. And perhaps it's my own bias, but I think the Spirit works more closely that way. Not writing over, but deepening your connection so you hear, see, and encounter other persons and other cultures. And from that gracious connection, know the depth of God's love for all. As we walk out today, either wearing red or feeling the fires of the Spirit in us, be reminded of that need to connect with the stories and persons of everyone we see. That is the blessing of this season. Carry that fire with you into the world. May that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
God didn't create us all exactly the same. Around the world, there are so many different cultures and peoples. So many different ways of being. The world is filled with colors and different songs and different ways of life. And every single one of them can be touched and blessed and enriched by the presence of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as it helps us see that all of us, everyone, everywhere, are children of God, and that Christ's message is meant for all. And we forget that. We step out into a world and we see difference and we're afraid. We step out into a world and someone is our enemy, and we think of them that way. The fire of the Spirit is intended to burn away that sinful, hating self that's within all of us. So feel that fire in yourself today. And as you step out into a world that is filled with all of God's glorious difference, encounter everyone with the fires of that love. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us for today, for tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.